on the anniversary of the death of a loved one, it's traditional for us to go to the tomb, pray for the person who died, call to mind some of the memories of our life with that person, perhaps bring flowers as a sign of our love. Well, today is the second death anniversary of Sister Barbara, and I invite you to take a visit, make a visit to her tomb, which is right there next to Father Francis. When you see the tombstone, you will see there not a picture of Sister Barbara, but an etching of the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God laying down in sacrifice. And you'll see on the tombstone an inscription, "Adoration and glory belong by right to the Lamb who was slain." Adoration and glory belong by right to the Lamb who was slain. Why is that on Sister Barbara's tombstone? Because it captures something of her inner life. Adoration and glory belong by right to the Lamb who was slain. She dedicated herself to adoration of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. We had a discussion, maybe was it last week, about how to celebrate this day, and we realized today being Friday, we have Eucharistic adoration all day long. And so we said, well, how can we do this? How can we have a celebration in honor of Sister Barbara and have adoration? And we said, well, we'll do both, because Sister Barbara loved both. She loved adoration. She spent hours, years in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, but she also loved to build up community. She loved to celebrate the faith with people who are on the journey with her. So we'll do both. After this Mass, we'll continue for adoration all day long, but we'll also have a breakfast celebration in her honor. Let's recall a little bit of the journey of Sister Barbara. You know that she met Jesus when she was a young child, and this is something that she treasured for her whole life, her personal experience of Jesus with her, of Jesus for her. She was, I think, less than 3 years old when she came to know him in a personal way. And that, even though it was a secret, she said no one knew that she had this love for Jesus, because she was a mischievous child and, you know, very strong personality and strong temperament, a little bit of a hot Irish temper. So no one knew that she was, but many people wouldn't have known she had such a love for Jesus. And then in her mid-20s, she had an experience in which the Lord called her to the interior life and to celibacy. This is how she described it. She didn't experience a call to religious life, but to the interior life and to celibacy. And that confirmed something that she had sensed from her earliest years, that she was for Jesus. It took a lot of people by surprise, because she was living in the world. She was enjoying her life in the world out in San Francisco, California, and suddenly she wants to withdraw from everything that she seemed to love so much. So it made sense to her, but it didn't make sense to anyone else. Well, you know the story. She eventually joined the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament, which is a contemplative community dedicated to adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. Adoration and glory belong by right to the Lamb who was slain. She dedicated her life to adoration. And she was very grateful for that opportunity to adore the Lord and to grow in the interior life with the guidance of the sisters, with the guidance of the richness of the church's traditions and the liturgy. But she also had a growing sense, even while she's in the convent, that this great treasure has to be given to more and more people. It can't just be for the contemplatives. She didn't know what it meant. She just had this sense that there's too much here to keep it for ourselves. Well, that takes us up to the year 1975. Suddenly, she had this experience, this voice of Our Lady telling her what will begin on December 8th. Well, what did that mean? She had no idea what that meant. What will begin December 8th. She had not met Father Francis yet. She was still a a sister in a contemplative community. She had been to the Philippines and back. She had been, I think, 7 years in Novaliches. I can't remember now. 1963, was it? 64 until 70. Anyway, during the martial law years, she was here in the Philippines. She loved the Philippines, but she was sent back. So 1975, she has this inner conviction that something is going to start on December 8th. She has no idea what it is. And then, before December 8th came along, she met Father Francis. Not particularly interested in him, but she heard something in what he was proclaiming that was an inner attraction, like a magnet. And to sum up the long story, on December 8th, she and Father Francis, along with Sister Carol, she's in exile out there, showed up in Corning, New York, and that was the beginning of the Anuim community. So from then on, Sister Barbara came to recognize and appreciate more and more what Father Francis had been given. That was not a new religion, not a new Jesus, not anything. I mean, Sister Barbara was very well schooled in the faith for years and years. She didn't learn the faith from Father Francis. She didn't learn the liturgy from Father Francis. What she learned was how the liturgy can become a way of life, how the liturgy can become a formation program every day for deeper and deeper life in the church. What she realized pretty quickly was he had a spirituality. He had a way. And that's what she knew she was called to receive, to live, and to share. You know the expression that she also heard in her inner life, put flesh on his word. Put flesh on his word. And that's what she dedicated herself to until the very end. In the last 2 years, she was crippled by her stroke. She was no longer able to speak or to serve, but she was continually giving herself to this way. Okay, in the meantime, between 1975 and 2021, she became the spiritual mother of hundreds and hundreds of people, a formator, a teacher in the spiritual life, a spiritual director. She had a great gift for leading other people deeper into the life of faith. And that's why we're all here. That's why we call her the spiritual mother of the community, the co-founder of the community. She hated that term, co-founder. She said, there's only one founder, it's Father Francis. But everyone knew that she was the co-founder because everyone knew that she was the one who taught people how to take what Father Francis was saying and put it into practical life. How does the lofty spirituality of the liturgy meet the practical details of family life, of work life, of culture, of society, of conflicts and relationships? How does it all go together? That's where Sister Barbara's gift came out. She had a great gift of counsel. She had a great intuition into how practically to go forward. So that's what we're grateful for. Now, she would not want me to speak so much about her, but she would want me to give an example of how the liturgy forms us, how we can take the Word of God and apply it to life. So let me just take a couple of ideas from today's gospel. Here's Jesus giving counsel to the apostles, telling them how to go out and make known the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What to do when you face opposition? What kind of inner stance should you take when you go out and face persecution? Here's what he says. Behold, I am sending you like sheep in the midst of wolves, so be shrewd as serpents and simple as doves. Sister Barbara loved this kind of thing. She might not have said exactly these words, but she would say, be as clever as a serpent, be as innocent as a dove. Be wise, use your head, think things out, be practical. This is not just a lot of theory. This has a lot of rich consequence. So be wise, but be innocent. Never give space to sin. Be simple as doves. Be led. Be humble. Follow. This is the combination that I think Sister Barbara was great at teaching other people. Be smart. Be wise. Be clever. Be shrewd. But at the same time, be simple. Be innocent. Don't build yourself up. Don't make a big deal out of yourself. Be humble. Let God guide you, and you'll be wise. Great piece of advice, piece of counsel from the Lord that I think Sister Barbara is echoing for us today. The second thing I'd like to pick out from today's gospel, Jesus' words here. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say. You will be given at that moment what you are to say, for it will not be you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Don't worry about what you're going to say. Don't live in anxiety about the future. Put your trust in the Holy Spirit. Let yourself be guided by the Holy Spirit in the present moment. Sister Barbara was a master at this. She was constantly facing new situations. She did not live in anxiety about what to do. She listened to the Holy Spirit in the moment. She discerned what would be the next practical step to take, and she did it with decisive confidence in God. She would very often help people overcome their anxieties or their fears or their indecision, because she herself, not basing it on her own self, but relying on the Holy Spirit, would listen, discern, and then act. Great example of not worrying about what to say or what to do, putting trust in the Holy Spirit. So with those two examples, with those two little tidbits of wisdom that come from the liturgy, I think we can appreciate our memory of Sister Barbara and be grateful to God for the wisdom we received through her. Let us too be as clever as serpents and simple as doves. Let us also not live in anxiety or worry about what we're going to say or what the future will bring. Let us put our trust in the Holy Spirit who dwells in us and who is a sure guide in the way of the spiritual life. We pray for Sister Barbara, but we especially ask Sister Barbara to pray for us.